You are listening to
PackersTalk.com.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Amanda, come in.
10-4.
Have you infiltrated the security system yet?
Locked and loaded, ready to lower myself into the enemy war room.
I'm lowering you down now.
I have access. The Packers are in for a tough one this week. I need the password to proceed.
The password is read option.
I hate that password.
Me too. You know which wires to cut.
Always go for the green and gold. Here we go. I'm Amanda Geffrey.
And I'm Chris Calloway, and you're going with us
behind
enemy lines. Welcome to another week of Packers Football and Behind Enemy Lines, a podcast hosted through PackersTalk.com. You can find us on iTunes at PackersTalk.com, as well as on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. I'm one of the hosts, Chris Calloway, on Twitter at CCalloway33, and I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend and fellow owner, Amanda, who you can find on Twitter at Amanda R. Geffrey. The Packers head to Detroit to take on the Lions and, I guess, hopefully come up victorious. Amanda, how was your Thanksgiving?
I mean, I'm thankful that I had food to eat.
Yeah, that's always something to be thankful for.
Not quite as thankful that I had to watch that game.
Did you have over or under 1 gallon of gravy?
I actually didn't eat that much gravy.
What?
Definitely under.
What? Put gravy on everything.
I definitely had over 1 gallon of vino.
There you go. And it was necessary, especially a little bit later on that night.
Yeah, no, I was done drinking by then.
It was tough. Who are you mad at this week?
Fun. Oh, you want to know who I'm mad at?
Yes, please tell me.
Mr. Adams.
Mr. Devontae Adams. What's the deal there? What, like, obviously everyone's making a big deal of it, but what do we take away?
Here's how I feel. Your job, your career, is you're a football player.
Mm-hmm.
Your specific position is to catch the football, to do good things for your team. Eventually, you got to catch the football.
Eventually? Here, let me throw this statistic.
I've been waiting a really long time for that eventually to come.
Well, Aaron Rodgers threw him the ball 11 times. And he caught 2 of them. Is that pretty good or what?
No, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
It makes me pretty sad.
Why bother putting him out there? I mean, are we at that point yet? Are we at that point, like, should he be a big factor in this offense? Or is he only out there because Ty Montgomery isn't healthy and for some reason they are keeping Jeff Janis, like, locked away in a safe deposit box?
What the heck is wrong with that? Like, why can't he come play?
I don't think
he seems to hold on to the ball fine.
Right. I mean, every time he's involved, good things happen. You know? I don't think he's, you know, like the Jesus Christ savior that some people are making him out to be.
His name would be Jordy Nelson.
Right. That would certainly be nice. And if it's like Jordy Nelson light, you know, like diet Jordy Nelson, it's not a bad thing to have in this offense, especially given the fact that a deep threat is something they've desperately craved over the past, you know, really the whole season, but really the month or so of losing that we've been enduring, you know, over the past few weeks.
I think what just, you know, is driving me nuts is it's not even, and not Devontae Adams wasn't the only one guilty of this. I mean, Randall Cobb was guilty of it a few times, but it was like they're ready to run after the catch way too often, and then they don't actually catch the ball. It's like, wait, catch the ball and just take the yardage you get.
Uh-huh.
I just you know, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is expecting them to do some kind of Jordy Nelson miracle or even like James Jones miracle. It just seems like they're pretty simple catches. Why are you playing ahead? Like, I don't know. I'm just frustrated.
That's fair.
I'm down in the dumps.
When this offense was clicking, it was, you know, a steady dose of the running game, and then they were able to get that yak, that yards after the catch, that we're just not seeing. You know, I don't know if the routes are designed a little bit differently or it's just not in rhythm and it just isn't leading to the same success, you know?
Yeah, but, like, part of the time it seemed like we couldn't even get the catch. Like, they were too worried about the yards after the catch.
Right. Step one is catching the ball. Step two is the after part.
Let's not go to step four.
Right.
You're already thinking about the touchdown celebration. Let's not do that yet.
Let's talk good news, though. Two games in a row, Eddie Lacy over 100 yards. In that typical, really efficient Eddie Lacy type of game that I feel like I talk about pretty much almost every week. You know?
He definitely seems like he's back into the swing of things and that he's obviously feeling better with it, you know, his ankle or whatever the hell was bothering him before. I don't even remember now. But he seems to be back in the swing of things and adding that other element to the offense. Unfortunately, I never thought we'd say this, but I think our passing game is what's struggling now.
It was his love handles that were bothering him, if you ask anybody.
Love.
In the,
they bother me, too.
Well.
Mine, not his.
Apparently
he can have all the love handles he wants.
He's not fat. He had 17 carries on 105 yards and a couple of nice long bursts, one that went for right around 30 yards. James Starks, you know, 7 for 39. That's up over 5 yards a carry. The running game was good. The running game was where we want it to be. But Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 43. That's, again, right around 50%. That's not cutting it.
It's a bad taste in your mouth.
Right? I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of something. I mean, penalties, they only had 3 of them. Third down conversions, that's always a problem. They were only 3 of 11. They outgained the Bears. They didn't really give up a whole bunch of sacks. It just, there's just not enough plays. There's not enough playmakers out on the field making plays. You know,
It was like people were expecting a miracle to happen just because Brett Favre and Bart Starr were there. And guess what? Still got to play some good football.
Let's go on a quick tangent there.
Okay, go ahead.
Halftime was really cool. You know,
God I was at home where I could see it.
It was Brett Favre, you know, his honor, but Bart Starr. I mean, that really, it would not have been the same night without Bart Starr there.
No, it wouldn't have.
And it looked miserable being in the stadium.
Right?
Oh, God. I mean, take your luck.
Downpour.
You know, when people are buying tickets to that, you're like, oh, yeah, Brett Favre, Thanksgiving, this is going to be so awesome. Oh, yeah, it's late November in northern Wisconsin.
And it's going to decide to rain cats and dogs on you.
Right.
So then that kind of makes me wonder how much of the weather impacted their performance. I mean, I don't know. I kept asking myself that, but then I would counter that with, well, Bears could do it. Why can't we?
And it wasn't like the Packers were necessarily playing from behind the whole game. Sure, it was like 14-10, 14-13, whatever. But it was close, and they could have ran the ball a little bit more. But like we just went through, Eddie Lacy only 17 carries. I know we talk about that's like the perfect Eddie Lacy game, 17 carries, 100 yards, but do they hand the ball off more, or does it just the success needs to come from the passing game?
I don't know. I mean, you can only ask the running game to do so much. I mean, Eddie Lacy and James Starks aren't going to be able to do everything. And I don't think we want our offense to be built that way.
Yeah. I
don't know. They've got to get something together. I know that Rodgers isn't left with his ideal receivers or his number one, number two, but he's got to make something work with those guys who are on the bottom of the totem pole. Like, he's got to, I don't know. I mean, I'm not blaming him completely, but something's got to happen there. They got to have other options.
Yeah. I mean, we really haven't talked about the defense too much, but
it's because the defense looked good.
I mean,
you can't expect them to do all the work
right,
either.
They've been good. They've been respectable, certainly over the past couple of weeks. But have they made any like really big plays? Like, there hasn't been an they didn't have an interception against Jay Cutler of all people. I mean, I don't know if you just expect competence and then everything else turnover-wise is a bonus, or do we need to kind of start expecting a little bit more out of the defense to kind of carry things when the offense isn't working as well? Because these 18, 16, 17, 14 type of games, you know, those scores in the low teens, they just don't feel very Packery, so to speak. And I don't know, obviously you're happy if your defense only gives up 14 or 17 points, but do we ask for more out of them?
No, I don't know. I don't think so, honestly. Like, I know that there was no like super huge awesome dominating plays for the defense, but they held them, and I think more so than the offense, the defense was impacted by the rain. There's only so much you can do when you're trying to read the plays and just, you know, protect your side of the field and make sure that you stop them from converting a first down. I think that they're struck with more of a challenge than the offense is, where the offense should know where the ball's going to go and when to expect it.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll get to our guest coming up here in just a little bit, but 5 games left on the schedule. The Packers are 7-4 through 11 games. How much of a must win is it for the Packers this week?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think the fact that you're hesitating there kind of tells the story. The fact that you're kind of thinking, is this a must win for the Packers? Like,
what else they got on the board? Yeah, no, I think they've got to win the division. I don't know about getting a wild card. There's potentially the chance, but I'm afraid that they're gonna fall too much.
If the season ended today, or ended, you know, prior to this week's games, they would be traveling to Washington, whereas the Vikings would be playing host to the Seahawks. That doesn't sound so bad, but it would be nice to have a bye in week one. Which is still possible. I mean, obviously you can still get to 12-4 if they run off 5 straight wins here, but I don't know. Dallas, Oakland, Arizona, and Minnesota waiting after this week. I'd feel a whole heck of a lot better about things if they were 8-4 rather than 7-5.
Yep, I would too.
So,
I'd rather see them lose to somebody like Oakland. I would
Detroit?
Say Dallas, but I don't want to watch them lose.
Right, yeah, that one in particular. I mean, I guess Oakland or Arizona would be a little bit more palatable, but I don't know. Losing to Detroit twice in one season, too, like, ugh, gross.
Yeah, and just, yeah, ugh, I don't know.
Well, I think we're pretty close to a loss for words, you know.
We are, yeah. I just don't even know what to say. It's hard to talk about. I sound like such a spoiled brat.
Right, I know. The Packers were a play away from going to the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
Let's have someone else talk. How about let's bring in our guest?
Yes, let's bring them in. Maybe they'll make us feel better. Now we'd like to welcome our guest, Dave Burkett, to the show. Dave is a Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. You can find his work and follow him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. Welcome to the show, Dave. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was a lot of work, as it always is, covering the Lions. But it was good other than that. How was yours?
You know, it wasn't awful. There was a lot to be thankful for, but the game was a little rough for us to watch.
No doubt. And, you know, finally, from a Lions standpoint, I mean, they've been playing on Thanksgiving forever, but it seemed like there was about a decade there where they couldn't win. And obviously the last couple years, including this year, they've had some pretty lopsided ones in their favor.
Well, that's true. And, you know, it seems like the Jim Bob Cooter era has been a rousing success, so to speak, over the past couple of weeks, and the Lions have looked really good. Is Lions fever sweeping over Detroit right now?
No, you know, I think there's still a lot of, angst maybe about what's going on. You know, the 1-7 start and firing their offensive coordinator and firing their GM and president, that nobody sort of expected them to get off to that start. And now that, the Fords went down the road of starting to make some changes, I think everybody is anticipating or expecting, the rest of the house cleaning to go on after the season. So, even though the Lions are sort of on the outskirts of this playoff race here, I don't know that there's a whole lot of believers in what the Lions are or what they will be come the end of December.
Well, obviously, the believers need to happen within the locker room. So kind of what's the mood about them? I mean, obviously, there haven't been too many winning streaks of recent with them. But, what kind of, should we expect from them just as a whole on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, when I say people aren't believing, that's certainly, outside fans, people that, talk to me on Twitter and email and that sort of thing. But, inside the locker room, there's no doubt that they're feeling a whole lot better about what's gone on here the last couple of weeks than they were the first half of the season, because things were so wrong the first half of the season. And it just, on both sides of the ball, nothing seemed to be going right. And, here of late, they've been playing a lot better run defense. They've held, some teams down in the scoring column. And then offensively, you mentioned Jim Bob Cooter. He's starting to get that offense together a little bit.
All right. As good as the Lions offense may have looked feasting on the Eagles on Thanksgiving, the couple of weeks prior to that, they were a little bit up and down. So what went so right against Philly, and can the offense duplicate that against Green Bay?
I think a lot of it was just due to, the Eagles being as bad as they are, truthfully. I mean, that's not to take it, anything away from the Lions. I mean, they took advantage of what was out there and what was given to them. Calvin Johnson had his best game of the season with 3 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford had one of the best games of his career throwing 5 touchdowns. But, they were picking on a short-handed secondary after Nolan Carroll got hurt for Philadelphia. Calvin Johnson was being covered by Eric Rowe, the rookie for the Eagles, for much of that game. A couple of his touchdowns came there. They took advantage of an undermanned Philadelphia secondary. And, again, they played well. They got the running game going. They continue to take good care of the football and protect Matthew Stafford better than they did early in the season. But I'm not sure that as much as people want to attribute it to the change in offensive coordinators, I'm not sure that's completely the case, just because, the first 3 games under Jim Bob Cooter, they scored 46 points total. The last game they scored 45. So, I think there's probably he deserves a little bit of credit, but I think there's a whole lot more going on there.
Well, Stafford, obviously, a lot of praise for his 5 touchdowns on Thursday, but I was really impressed by the efficient 27 of 38 he was passing. That was the more impressive stat to me. So is that kind of a reflection on the play calling, just his execution, or what did you kind of chalk that one up to?
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen these games out of Stafford before where he gets really hot and really sharp, and, he can pick some people apart when that's the case, when he's given some time, and that's something that wasn't happening early on in the season. So, he was under a whole lot of pressure. He was getting hit an awful lot, and I think that's really what led to some of the turnovers. You look back at what this Lions offense has done. They've had 20, turnovers in their first 8 games, and then in their 3-game winning streak here, they've had 1 turnover. So I think a lot of it has to do with that dynamic right there.
The offense, kind of tried a bold strategy of throwing to Calvin Johnson's way 14 times on Thursday, leading to 3 touchdowns. I mean, who is to credit with this crazy idea of throwing to the best wide receiver in the league more often than they have been? I mean, what's kind of been the idea behind that?
Right. Seems far-fetched, right, to throw to Calvin a little bit. No, I mean, again, a lot of it just comes down to matchups. And, what's happened with Calvin this year is he's been sort of relegated to being a possession receiver a lot of the year. He hasn't been able to get open deep quite as much, and especially early on in the season when he was playing guys that, were some of the better cornerbacks in the league, Aqib Talib and Patrick Peterson and some of those guys. And, again, he has the advantage against any of those Philadelphia cornerbacks, and, he was certain to take advantage of it. So they tried to single him, and the Lions obviously wanted to exploit that matchup.
Well, I don't think there's any of those, really high-caliber cornerbacks on the Packers this Thursday night. Do you expect a little bit more of the same, and maybe a lot of balls being thrown his way?
Well, that's you know, how they tried to attack Green Bay the first time around, and you know, I think Demarius Randle did a pretty good job on Calvin, and I would expect him to you know, be front and center at that matchup again. You know, he's played pretty well, but yeah, look, the Lions, obviously they want to get the ball to Calvin when they can. It's been a little bit tougher this year just because, you know, he can't get open deep quite as much. The protection issues that I alluded to, you know, there's been a whole lot of work there. But obviously their first order of business is to throw the ball Calvin's way whenever possible.
Well, let's kind of touch on that first matchup between the two teams. You know, there wasn't much of a run game either way a few weeks ago. And we'll get to Eddie Lacy and the Packers run game in a bit, but what's the feeling in Amir Abdul and Joyke Bell's ability to get the run game going?
Well, Amir's kind of taken over for Joyke as sort of the Lions' number one option in the run game, and you know, rightfully so. I mean, he's the more dynamic of the two running backs. I think Joyke can still have a role as sort of a, you know, short yardage guy, between the tackles guy. You know, he plays in their 4-minute offense, but you know, really, Amir is the most dynamic running back that they have, at least as a runner. Theo Riddick, obviously, is one of the, you know, better receiving backs in the NFL. But, you know, I think they've sort of found a little bit of a rhythm there. Jim Bob Cooter is a guy who, you know, he said from the get-go that he wanted to emphasize the run, even if it wasn't working. He stuck with it. The Lions have, in their four victories this year, they've run the ball 20 or more times every game, and they haven't in any of their losses. So, you know, and Cooter's made sure to make that a point of what they've been doing. So even if they're not putting up big numbers, I think you'll see them continue to try to run the ball on Thursday.
Well, let's flip it over to the other side of the ball then. I watched the video you guys put out from the Detroit Free Press, and you talked about that guys in the locker room have been saying that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to get hot at some point. You just can't let it be against you. I mean, we're feeling the exact same way. We're hoping for that breakout game, you know, that hasn't come over the past month or so. What do you think it'll take from the Lions defense to beat Rodgers and the Packers again this season?
Yeah, well, the thing that they continue to emphasize is stopping the run, and they know it's going to be a different challenge this week with Eddie Lacy on the field since he didn't play last time around. And, you know, you go back and you look at the history of these two teams the last couple of years. When the Lions have held Green Bay's running game down, that's when they beat the Packers. And when Eddie Lacy and the rest of that backfield has gotten going, that's when Green Bay has won. And, you know, that's, I think, going to be the emphasis again here, because just the way that the Packers receivers are, without Jordy Nelson, those guys cannot beat, you know, halfway decent defensive backs one-on-one. You know, Darius Slay, he locked up Randall Cobb the first game. He's playing really good football, and I don't think any of those other receivers scare anybody on the Lions. So I think the emphasis is shutting that running game down and then letting their defensive backfield do work.
So as far as Eddie Lacy and the Packers' run game goes, is that the single biggest aspect that could swing this game one way or another?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, what the Lions will tell you. I still believe when you got Aaron Rodgers on the field, he's the guy that you got to, you know, shut down first and foremost, just because he's, you know, still, for my money, the best in the business, or one of the top two, depending on what you think of, you know, Tom Brady, and Brady's certainly playing at a high level. But, yeah, there's no doubt that Lacy has played, you know, pretty good football since coming back here. He's got 200-yard games, and, you know, he adds a different dimension to that offense, something that, you know, James Starks can't quite do, that big physical, you know, runner between the tackles guy that can really wear you out. So the Lions have been playing pretty good run defense of late. Haloti Ngata, especially up front, and they need that to continue on Thursday.
So you mentioned on the injury report that Glover Quinn should be good to go for Thursday night's game. How important is he to the defense? And, you know, what kind of other playmakers in your mind need to step up for the Lions to have success again?
Well, he's the, you know, Pro Bowl safety, so they need him on the field if they're going to be able to stop Rodgers, because if he's not out there, that means James Ahedibo is starting, and he's playing a bigger role. And Ahedibo is not nearly the same type of, you know, cover safety, rangy guy that Quinn is. So I expect Quinn to play. Don't know that for sure yet. He's been practicing the last few days, and he looks like he's moving around pretty good. So I would expect him to be on the field. And then from a defensive standpoint, the other guys are the same two keys that they've always been, and that's Darius Slay. You know, he's going to cover Randall Cobb again, and you know, that's a matchup that he needs to win. And then Ziggy Ansah, rushing the passer. He's second in the NFL in sacks right now. And the more that they can get out of him, the more production they can get out of him, the better they are.
So can you give us your assessment of the Packers and the division as a whole? It feels like everyone else in the NFC North is playing well, but who is going to be standing at the top in the end, at the end of the season?
Well, I think you got to go with the Vikings the way things have you know played out so far. Just the fact they own the tiebreakers on the Lions and the Packers. You know, I assume they'll own it on the Bears too before things are done. I know they have a pretty difficult schedule, but they're ahead in the standings right now. But I still think Green Bay is a playoff team. You know, the Packers have not been playing good football here of late. And again, I think a lot of that is just without Jordy Nelson and when Lacy was hurt, they didn't have a whole lot of options. They didn't have a whole lot of weapons on offense. And, you know, those guys I mentioned before, those receivers that they have, they don't strike a lot of fear in opposing, you know, defensive backs. And that's something that Aaron Rodgers, because he's so good, he's going to be able to figure out a way to get the most out of those guys. And I still think they're going to be in the playoff mix when the season's all done.
Well, I'm hoping that's the case. It's been a little dismal over the past month or so, but we're spoiled Packer fans, so we can't complain too much. But, you know, I get the sense that you like the Packers in this matchup on Thursday night. Maybe why in particular do you think that, you know, the Packers are going to be able to get a little bit of revenge against the Lions?
Yeah, I do. You know, and look, I will be the first to say this is sort of a toss-up game, and maybe I'm you know, picking the Packers because of history as much as anything, and Rodgers as much as anything, because I do, you know, respect him as a quarterback. But because the rest of that Green Bay team has not been playing great football of late, but I still think, you know, from a Lions standpoint, that even though they're on a little bit of a winning streak here, and they had such a big game Thursday night against the Eagles, I still have my doubts about that offense and that they're going to be able to get things going on a consistent basis against a pretty good defense. So. You know, you throw the little bit of the desperation factor into the mix, not that the Lions aren't, but, you know, I think the Packers are certainly, you know, in that boat as well. And, you know, the fact that it's tough to sweep a season series against a team like that, I just think Green Bay pulls out a close one at the end of the day.
You like that prediction, Amanda?
Well, I do. I do like it. I like it anytime the Packers win. You know, I think I'm going to have to go with the Packers win as well. I think that they've been inconsistent on offense, but I think we're going to see them, you know, come back around and put something together for this game. Maybe it's just simply because they lost and they do not want to lose twice to Detroit in one season. But I think, you know, I think our defense has been pretty consistent, and hopefully they'll hold them maybe even to less points than in the matchup at Green Bay. So I think we'll see the Packers win probably 21-14.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be somewhere in that mid-20s. Maybe, hopefully, the Packers can get, you know, maybe a touchdown win or so. Maybe in that, you know, 27-20 range, kind of where you were talking, Dave. So, hopefully we're all on board. Hopefully for us Packer fans it goes in our favor. But we really appreciate your time, spending some time with us this week, and enjoy the game on Thursday night.
Yeah, no problem. You guys enjoy it, too. We'll talk to you again.
All right, thanks,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
No problem.
We appreciate everyone for tuning in to the Week 13 edition of Behind Enemy Lines. The Packers head to Detroit to take on the Lions. Once again, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. I'm Chris Calloway, and you can find me at CCalloway33.
And I'm Amanda Geffrey. You can find me at Amanda R. Geffrey. Thank you to our guest, Dave Burkett, for joining us. You can find him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. Remember, check out all of our podcasts on PackersTalk.com and follow Behind Enemy Lines on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. Until next time,
go Pack Go!
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.